Welcome to the Insider Safe Place for Men podcast show. Because every male survivor deserves hope, healing, support, and a BMW. And here's your male survivor, leadership coach, and hypnotherapist, Thomas Edwards.
Yo, what's up? What's up, everybody? Man, just got this big smile on my face because I love that jam. Every time I play that music, man, I feel like I want to get up and I just want to dance. Yes, I love that little intro. There's just got a nice little groove to it. They're kind of taking me back, you know, to the day, back to the day. Hey, how you guys doing? This is, of course, Coach T, Coach Thomas here from Safe Place for Men Insiders podcast. How are you guys doing today? All right. So you guys had a chance last week to hear, you know, me being interviewed. And like I said, this is the time of the year when I get quite a few calls to actually be on different shows, to be interviewed and to talk about stuff and talking about coaching survivors and, you know, just kind of diving into some of the CPTSD, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, those different type of things. And you know, and some of the ways that we coach and some of the ways that we work with those things. So this gets to be a little bit kind of a busy time for me. And then I'm always trying to put out, you know, just tips and different strategies for us survivors during the holidays, because this can be some really difficult, tough times for us during the holidays, especially if our sexual abuse occurred within our families, intrafamilial families. That can really be difficult. You know, you're sitting there, you know, at the different events and stuff, and you're, you know, eating across from maybe the person who's one of your perps, your abusers, and you know, they're pretending like nothing ever happened, and it can just really be tough. And that's one of the things that we actually coach, you know, when we're doing the workshops and things, because sometimes, you know, you have to figure out, okay, how am I going to make it through this? Am I going to go? Am I not going to go? Do I need to go? I remember we did one workshop, actually it was on Thanksgiving, because someone had asked for us to actually do it on Thanksgiving. And it was interesting, right? Because we had, you know, a number of guys that showed up and we had our own little Thanksgiving. And it was kind of nice because we were family, right? And, you know, they weren't in a place where they had to be sitting across, you know, eating the turkey dinner, carving it, and, you know, thinking in my head, I'm going to plunge the knife into the person that did this to me. And so we worked on some different things. And then the next year they were actually able to actually go to their Thanksgiving dinners there with their families. But yeah, the holidays can be quite difficult. Hey, today I'm going to drop just a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to get through all of this or not. But, you know, when I'm coaching and I'm working with survivors, and the one thing I like about coaching is I just run into so many different things that individuals are dealing with. And if you've ever been up to the website, safeplaceformen.com, and you've had an opportunity to click on that button that says challenges, and what I've done is, and I haven't put all of them up there, I think only put like 70-something, but just survivor challenges and issues in their own words of things that they've, you know, been dealing with. And, you know, like some, like, you know, I have no real sense of self, right? So, you know, these are things that we've coached, right, over the years, and it'll tell you over the past 23 years. Or, you know, I've had years of therapy, and I still feel like I have no clarity or solutions, right? And oftentimes, you know, what happens is that's just the CPTSD part of it, right? So you've worked through some of the issues, you've worked through the abuse, but you've still got these dysfunctional, these dysfunctional patterns and behaviors and things that are still, I'm going to say, with you. So that's where a lot of that, you know, actually comes from. Or, you know, someone put up there, you know, my drinking is a symptom. I know this, but it's a powerful one. And that's not the only one. So, you know, currently I have quite a few guys, and what we're doing is it's not the, I'm going to say, the drinking that is a symptom. It's actually the porn that is a symptom, which is interesting. And they said they've been addicted to porn since the abuse. And so we've been working through some issues like that. And so today what I want to do, I want to talk a little bit when we're talking about CPTSD, right? With complex post-traumatic stress disorder, and sometimes the way that it shows up. And I remember when it showed up for me, and man, you know, I've shared with you guys, you know, the whole hapnophobia and those different type of things. Sometimes it shows up in what's known as intimacy disorder. Okay, that's kind of what they're calling it these days, intimacy disorder, which pretty much is a fear of intimacy, right? Sometimes you'll hear it referred to as intimacy avoidance or avoidance anxiety. But really what it's usually about, it's characterized, I'm going to say, as a fear of sharing a close emotional or a physical relationship. Now, you guys already know me when I talk about intimacy. I have several different ways when we talk about intimacy, because I don't think it's just emotional and physical. I think there's other ones too, but we'll talk about that. But the thing is that people who experience, I'm going to say, this fear, they don't usually wish to avoid intimacy. It's like everybody wants intimacy, you know. Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to be touched, those different type of things. And we all long for this whole idea of closeness, being close. But frequently what happens is when we do have intimacy disorder issues, what we often do is we're pushing others away. And sometimes actually what we're doing is we're actually even sabotaging our relationships. And that just reminds me, because actually I think you guys remember Scotty, right? So he's one of the guys who went through the program, it's about what, six years ago? I can't remember. But anyway, just to say he's going to be on one of the podcast shows coming up just to kind of share where he's at. So I just throw that out there because he reminded me of that, because he's going to share this is one of the things that he actually deals with. But anyway, so fear of intimacy. Now, we all know that this fear of intimacy can stem from many different causes. Okay. The one we're talking about, of course, is coming from our childhood experience. And you often find it, of course, when you have some type of history of abuse. And so the fear is going to involve one or more types of, you know, intimacies, but at different degrees. So this is one of the things when I'm coaching and we're working through intimacy disorders. One of the things I like to stress is that intimacy does not just automatically mean sexual. That's one of the things that actually comes up for us as survivors, and that's because of the sexual abuse. And so as soon as we hear the word intimacy, oftentimes in our minds, we're thinking of the physical sexual. Okay, we're thinking of that type of closeness. When the reality is, when we're talking about intimacy, intimacy just means closeness, right? But it can be in different ways. So you can have what's known as intellectual intimacy. And so that just means that you have the ability to share your thoughts and ideas with another person, right? So intellectual, right? There's emotional intimacy. Now, this is one that comes in for us oftentimes as survivors. And that's the ability, of course, to share our innermost feelings with someone else, that emotional part, that emotional connection, right? I know for me, that's really, really important, right? To have that emotional intimacy. And even in my relationships, just my regular relationships, and emotional intimacy is really important for me. And so, you know, oftentimes, you know, someone was asking me the other day, you know, about my relationships. I've said, well, I'm the type of person where I really don't like what I call shallow intimacy relationships. In other words, when I hang out with someone, usually we're talking about deep stuff, right? We're sharing the emotions, those different type of things. I say, and if not, it just kind of doesn't gel with me, right? So that's what we mean by that emotional intimacy. Then, of course, then there's sexual intimacy. And sexual intimacy, of course, is our ability to share ourselves sexually. And that's the one that I notice, the emotional intimacy and the sexual intimacy are often tied in together. So let's just say, for example, oh man, I've had numerous survivors come to me and with their spouses, and they're having a hard time with sexual intimacy. But one of the reasons they're having a hard time, sexual intimacy, no pun intended there, is because the emotional intimacy. And so when they're having sexual intimacy with their partner, the problem is that the abuser's face or whatever, what they did is running through their head, and it makes it difficult for them to actually connect their innermost feelings with that person. And so then that kind of ruins the sexual intimacy for them. Now, I can also go, you know, the whole other route, even when we're talking about the sexual intimacy. So you could be doing the act, but then there's no connection there at all, right? And so that ability to share yourself, I'm going to say those two are kind of wrapped together. Then we have what's known as, and maybe you've never heard this before, and this is just experiential intimacy. Now, you're like, what in the world is that? Come on, Coach T, what are you talking about? What are you coming up with? Talking about this different type of stuff. It's like, what in the world is that? Okay, so when we're talking about that, I guess what I'm trying to say, when we say experiential, if you've ever been to one of the workshops, okay, what happens is oftentimes when the guys come through the door, especially if other guys are, you know, there, so we're waiting to start, as soon as they walk through the door, oftentimes there's just this release of emotion. And that's because they're finally in a place where there are other guys who have experienced to some degree the same thing that they have experienced, right? And so now when we talk about experiential intimacy, it's the ability to share experiences with one another. That's one of the reasons I really enjoy doing the workshops, the retreats, right? Because it involves a lot of these different pieces, right? It's hitting a lot of these pieces when we're talking about intimacy. And then there's spiritual intimacy, right? And so that's just the ability to share your beliefs, right? So beliefs beyond yourself, if you want to call it your higher power or your individual connection to others, to the world, to the universe, or maybe, you know, a specific religion or whatever it is, right? And so those are the different type of intimacies that are out there, okay? And I even have one I throw in, I just call it social intimacy, right, which is just your ability, I'm going to say, to just pretty much jive and just work with other people. So when we're talking about overcoming this fear or this anxiety, let me tell you, it takes time. It can take time. But you've got to explore and you've got to understand, I'm going to say, the contributing issues. And you've got to practice, I'm going to say, allowing greater vulnerability. Now, this one, I know sometimes it freaks us out, and sometimes it's just really difficult for us. Because when we think about fear of intimacy, I'm going to say, versus fear of vulnerability, they're kind of combined, but yet there is, I'm going to say, kind of a little bit of difference there. So when we think of the fear of intimacy, I'm going to say it's a little bit separate from the fear of vulnerability. So now, even though the two can be closely intertwined, I'm going to say a person living with the fear of intimacy, they might be actually comfortable becoming vulnerable and showing their true self to the world at first. But then what often happens is there are limits to how that vulnerability or how much of the vulnerability that they're actually going to allow themselves to share or to be or to expose. Okay. Now, when we talk about some of the causes, I'm going to say, of, you know, our intimacy disorder or causes of fear of intimacy, like we said, a lot of it can go back to our childhood. And so if we've experienced things like, you know, maybe fear of abandonment, even fear of engulfment or fear of loss, you know, a lot of these things are at the heart of the fear of intimacy for many people. And these fears can actually, they can coexist. So they can be going on at the same time. So sometimes, you know, when I'm coaching and I'm working with individuals and we're dealing with the CPTSD and they have intimacy disorders, so they have the fear of the intimacy, could be emotional, sexual, physical, these different type of things. One of the things they often have, though, is the fear of abandonment. And so let me share with you. So I was working with one individual, and he and his spouse, they were having some issues. So sexual intimacy, emotional intimacy. And as I was working with him and we were doing some of the hypnotherapy work, and, you know, kind of went back and we dove into where those feelings were actually coming from. And that's kind of what we do with the hypnotherapy. What we're doing is we're tracing that feeling kind of back to what we call the initial sensitizing event. So like when you notice that you first experienced that, like what was going on. And so for him with the sexual abuse, after the sexual abuse, the person wouldn't talk to him. The person didn't want to have anything to do with him. And it's probably, you know, more of that individual. Maybe they were feeling guilty for what they had done. I don't know. But anyway, when you're a child, you perceive things whatever from a certain way. So from his perspective, anytime that sex was involved, that type of intimacy, there was this fear of abandonment that took place. That if I have sex with this individual, that means that they're going to abandon me. They're not going to talk to me anymore. They're not going to have that emotional connection with me anymore. And so then that brings in, of course, now also the fear of loss. Okay. So you can kind of see when I was working with him, we had a lot of work, you know, that we had to do in order to help to take care, of course, of that limiting belief that had been actually created by the sexual abuse. So these fears, like we said, they're generally rooted in our, you know, past childhood experiences. And, you know, they're often triggered by, I'm going to say, the here and now, what's going on in our adult relationships. And so this leads to confusion. Like if a person is focused on examining the relationship solely based on the present day circumstances. And this is why when we're talking about this, this is one of the reasons that CPTSD, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, is so complex, because we think it's just something that's going on with us, but it's, remember emotional resonance? I think we did that podcast, but where we talked about, you know, you play the piano, so you hit the note, but when you hit that note, the sound waves go over to the guitar that's sitting on the table and will actually start moving it. And so this is what I mean. So things in our past, we think that it's the present, but there are things in our past that are actually being triggered and they're causing that emotional resonance for us here today. And so that fear of intimacy can be linked to those things that were going on there. Now, for those that are, I'm going to say, afraid of abandonment, because like I said, oftentimes I run into that when we're talking about intimacy disorders. For him, what he was doing is he was worried that his partner, of course, would leave him. And that's usually one of the things. But this fear often results from the experience, like we said, in childhood, of usually an older adult or figure that we feel that is abandoning us emotionally or physically. Okay, so that's kind of what's going on there. Now, here are the things when we think about intimacy. And so when we talk about, like I said, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, the thing is that oftentimes what happens is it can be the sexual abuse also tied with some other things that are going on. And so this is one of the reasons, like I said, when I was studying, you know, psychology and counseling in Seattle, that one of the reasons I was so drawn to developmental stages, and when those developmental stages are disrupted because of some type of trauma during childhood, that we get stuck. And so I want you to think of, from this perspective, when we're talking about this intimacy disorder, this fear of intimacy. So think of the survivor who's being sexually abused. So you've got that going on. But then they've got other things that are going on at that same time during those developmental stages. So let me just give you an example. So experiences that might even, I'm going to say, increase the risk of fearing intimacy might include, so during that time or whatever, you have what's known as enmeshed families. Okay, so Oh man, have I explained enmeshed families? You know, I don't know if I have. Or okay, well, anyway, I will at some time in the future. But we'll just say so enmeshed families. So while enmeshed families may, let's say, on the surface appear to be loving and supportive, the boundaries and the roles might be blurred. That's what we mean by enmeshed, right? And they can lead to issues concerning attachment. Oftentimes for survivors, they're put in situations, especially if they have younger siblings, where they are living what we call the parentified child. That's where the child has to be the parent or is expected to be the parent. And so it's one of those enmeshed families where the lines are blurred, the boundaries. Hey, I'm supposed to be the kid. Why am I expected to be the parent here? Right? See a lot of that, especially in families where there's alcoholism. Okay. So anyway, that could be one of the things that's going on during that time. Like we said, emotional neglect, okay? So that might be a factor also that's blending in when we're talking about the risk factors for having fear of intimacy. So, you know, parents, caregivers, whoever, you know, they might be there physically, but they're not emotionally available. And so then what they're doing is they're sending the message to the child that pretty much that they're an extension and that they really can't be relied upon to supply the affection that the child needs. Okay. Let's just say, for example, another one that might be a risk factor. Let's say maybe also during this time you experience the loss of a parent. Okay. So just think about that. You know, if you've lost a parent, you know, through death, divorce, imprisonment, which is actually a big one, you're going to be left with feelings of abandonment that might have a harder time, I'm saying, forming actually romantic attachments in your adult life. And I think they've even done research on this, and they found that fear of abandonment is actually associated. I think was it mental health problems? Yeah, some romantic. I'll have to look that up and see if I can find that for you. And if you guys do, I'll put it up on the website. But yeah, loss of a parent or, you know, parental, you know, illness, those different type of things where the parent isn't able to really take care of the child and to be with the child or to even play with the child. Play is a big thing when we're talking about complex post-traumatic stress, you know, disorder. Of course, we said, you know, physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, and even verbal abuse. So all these things can contribute to what we're talking about, intimacy disorder or the fear of intimacy. So a fear of intimacy is, you know, more common if we were exposed, I'm going to say, to these different type of things during our childhood. All right. So, oh my goodness, my time is it's going like crazy here. All right. So what are some ways that sometimes that this can be manifested? I'm just going to give you just a few short ones just to think about that. We dive a little bit more in the workshop, but you're like, okay, Coach T, how do I know if this is possibly me? All right. Well, the first thing we talked about is possibly you might be sabotaging your relationships. Okay. Maybe you don't realize it, but if you're noticing that you're kind of going through relationships here, you know, your attrition rate is pretty high, I might start want to ask myself some questions. Is there some possibility of fear of intimacy going on here? If you're going through what we call serial dating, okay, serial dating. And so a person who has fear of intimacy is often, we're going to say, able to interact with others initially. But when it comes to actually making commitment, okay, the fear of intimacy shows up in the idea of actually fear of commitment. So when the relationship starts getting closer and closer, the value of the relationship is starting to grow. Then what happens is it falls apart because it's starting to make me feel uncomfortable. Okay. So instead of connecting on an intimate level, the relationship usually ends in some way, and I might even be doing it. So I might be acting in such a way that subconsciously, I don't even know, but it's going to end the relationship, okay, because of that fear of commitment. Another one I've run into that's used when we're talking about fear of intimacy and how it's manifested, and I run into this so much, perfectionism. Yes, perfectionism. So the underlying fear of intimacy often lies a feeling that the person does not deserve to be loved and supported. Oh, I just don't deserve to be loved and supported. And this leads to the need to be perfect, to prove that you are lovable. Okay, that you deserve to be loved, that you are lovable. I have to prove myself. Okay. It's no different, I'm going to say, than when we're becoming the workaholic, the gym rat, whatever, to cover up for the sexual abuse. Then the other way that it can be manifested, or one of the ways this can be manifested, is just difficulty expressing needs. Okay, so remember we talked about boundaries, those different type of things. So, you know, a person with the fear intimacy or intimacy disorder, they might have a great difficulty expressing their needs and their wishes. I'm going to say especially during the time of the sexual intimacy. And then oftentimes what happens is they feel like, oh, well, because they can't express their needs and difficulties, maybe they can't say, no, I don't like that, or that doesn't feel pleasurable, right? And so then what happens is like, oh, okay, this doesn't work for me, whatever, I'm going to end the relationship. Now, the partner, of course, they can't read, you know, their mind, so they don't know what's going on. But what happens is those needs go unfulfilled. And so essentially what I'm doing, I'm just confirming. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, like, oh, see, it can't be in relationships, whatever. But the difficulty comes in actually expressing my needs, my desires, my wants, and my wishes. And then, of course, manifestation. If we've got difficulties with physical contact, and I share with you guys my whole thing about this when I had hapnophobia and how I, you know, went to massage school and just did a year and a half of actually massage, and then came out as a licensed massage therapist working with trauma, men with trauma, sexual abuse. But that was me. Difficulty with physical contact. If you were to touch me on the shoulder or the leg or something, I would just jump sky high, right? And so, of course, that was from the sexual abuse. And it was just so interesting for me, the time in life that it, you know, that it showed up, you know, just, yeah. You know, one of the times when you're kind of, you feel like you're on top of the world and you're having a great time and you're starting to figure out who you are, then bam, that falls on you. Like, oh, come on. All right. But that's how it goes. So, all right. So here's the thing I just want to leave you with. Okay. So here are some things to kind of watch out for when we're talking about that might indicate my fear of intimacy or intimacy avoidance. And if it is, okay, I know this seems strange, but I'm going to tell you to be happy. And the reason I'm going to tell you to be happy, because now you have a better idea that something's going on and you can maybe possibly identify it a little bit better. And then that means that you can actually try and find solutions for it. So I always think that that's great. All right. So what are some things? How do I know? All right. Now, we talked about all those things, but if not, I'm just going to give you just kind of a list here to think about. This might help. Okay, so one, we said if we have an inability to express what you need and want from those in your life, okay, then there might be some possibility, an indicator that there's some fear of intimacy going on. Maybe poor communication or avoidance, I'm going to say, of serious topics in your relationship. Okay. Oh, I don't want to talk about that because I'm not certain if the person's going to stay with me. Okay. That might be going on, but poor communication or avoidance of serious topics in your relationship might be an indicator of that. Trouble trusting, let's just say, your partner with important matters or decision. Okay. Let me raise my hand on that one because that was me. And I still kind of have it to an extent sometimes. I'm the type of person, I've gotten better because in the past, man, if you came to me and we were doing something, even planning something, I would have plan A all the way through Z, right? So if you messed up, then I still knew that I had plan C, D, B, whatever, right? It was overkill, right? It was overkill. And I actually lost some relationships because of that. But just to let you know, it does happen. So trouble trusting your partner with important matters or decisions. All right, here's another thing. An unwillingness to actually to share your dreams or your goals, okay? And so that also can depend on the type of relationship, but it might be an indicator if you have a fear of actually sharing your dreams and your goals. Let's just say, we talked about this before, if I'm purposely sabotaging my relationships, okay, once they begin, once they start getting a little bit close to the other person, and I think Scotty's going to talk about that a little bit with you guys when he actually comes on the podcast, because that was something that he and I would work on during our coaching sessions. And he'll tell you about some of the things that I would have him to actually work through and what we would do. And he'll tell you that at first he just thought I was crazy. Yeah. But then he saw my rhyme and my rhythm after we did it. If we're avoiding physical course contact with your partner, that's probably a big indicator. There might be some fear intimacy there. And then, okay, let's go to the bedroom. So if I'm refraining from, let's say, maybe just being spontaneous or adventurous in the bedroom, that might also indicate that there's some fear of intimacy that is there. All right, guys. Woo, that was a lot to cover. But you know what? I think we got through it. Yes. Woo. Yes, we did. All right. So, where are we at? So here's the thing that I just want you to kind of, I'm going to say, leave you with and think about. So like I said, go up to the website, click on that challenges, see if any of those things are there that possibly apply to you. I probably need to update that list. There's only 73 up there, but I've got more to put up there. But if so, you know what? That might be an indication that there's some more work that needs to take place. I was talking with a survivor the other day, and I always get this question, like, when will this be over? And I'm like, well, I said, when you're not here anymore, I guess it'll be over. But I'm like, you know, pieces of it are always there. Now, that doesn't mean that it's bad, but you just have to realize, you know, it sucks, but it's the type of abuse that can happen to us just once in a moment, and it can plague us for a lifetime. It can. But how it plagues us, I'm going to say, is up to us. How we decide to attack it, how we decide to work through the issues, is up to us. And that's what I want you to know, that there is a way to reclaim your life. And I don't have all the answers, right? And that's why I always say to individuals, right, I might just be a little piece for this season, right? So a lot of guys, they come to me and they're like, wow, okay, you know, I'm working with a therapist and stuff. And I just feel like I'm kind of, I'm at a dead spot. I'm like, okay, so then let's try some coaching and see if that'll help you, because maybe you're dealing with some CPTSD stuff that you didn't get, all right? And then I say, but that's not the end of it, right? So we're just working on this at this time for whatever what's going on with you, just helping you to continue to move from stage to stage. But let me tell you, moving and working through the stuff has given me and blessed me with some cool individuals in my life. And that's one of the reasons I even love coaching, because a lot of the individuals, you know, that you work with, maybe later they decide, you know what, hey, you know, Coach D seems to be a kind of nice person. I want to build a relationship with that person, right? Or you have friends, or just the people that you meet that can really understand and can relate to the experience that you've had. And so that's how I can have laughter in my voice. That's how I can have a smile on my face. And it might not be all the time. There are times sometimes when things might trigger me and I might be sad for a while, but I have strategies and techniques to, to work through them, to identify them. So they're not there as long as they used to be. They don't have the same impact on my life. And that's why I love doing this, because when you're helping individuals to be able to do that, give them those tools, those strategies, you're helping them to not only find themselves, but to be their best selves. But the thing is, you got to supply the safe place for it to happen. All right, guys. So make sure that you're up there and you're checking the website. Like I said, I'll be putting up the workshops that will be coming up, of course, for next year, the ones in here in Sacramento at my little place here, my little house, and then the ones in Seattle. So usually how it works is I kind of go by weather, right? So when it's hot in here in Sacramento, it's hot, right? I had a group in here like about a month or two, and my air condition broke down. And oh, man, it was just hot. Nobody complained. I mean, we got through it, but I was like, man, you know what? I should have did that one in Seattle, because everyone knows that summer in Seattle is 75, pretty much around July and August. So, yeah, that's kind of how it works. I try and do the ones here when it's not hot. And then if I know it's going to be during the hot time, then we try and do them in Seattle or in some international places like Fiji. So anyway, just go up to the website, safeplaceformen.com. Check it out. Check out some of the different interviews that we put up there. When you go to those, the first front page, navigate there. So, you know, if you haven't disclosed yet, but you're thinking about it, click on that button, right? Sign up, and then it's going to send you some stuff to help you to start working through that. If you disclose and you're trying to figure out, okay, what's the next step? What am I doing? All right, click on that button, right? Sign up, and then it's going to send you some information to work on it, right? If you disclose, you had some therapy, right? But now you're dealing with this complex post-traumatic stress disorder challenges. Click on that button, and it's going to take you through some things to help you to start working through there. All right, guys, here's the one thing that I want you to always to know. And I know it's hard because this word just means different things to us, right? But what I want you to know is the voice that you're listening to right now, you need to know that there's someone who cares about you. And he's talking to you right now. And if you're in a place and you just don't know what to do, and I've been in that place before, first of all, you need to know that someone cares about you and someone loves you. And he's talking to you right now. And the next thing that you need to know is you've got to hold on for one more day, because you just don't know what tomorrow may bring, right? Tomorrow might bring the start or the beginning of that new life. And maybe that was today. Just by hearing that podcast, it brought you something new. Maybe you were able to connect with it, but you had to hold on to that one more day. That's the only reason that I'm here. Because I held on for that one more day. I wouldn't be here if I wouldn't have done that, right? I would have followed through, but I didn't. One more day. And what helped me to hold on to that one more day was just knowing, because someone just told me that evening when I was going to do it, they said, no, I just want you to remember and I want you to know that I love you. I was like, whoa, what was that? Love, well, it has a whole strange, different meaning for me, but it was enough to keep me surviving. All right, guys, that's it for our Insiders podcast for Safe Place for Men. You guys have a great weekend, and hopefully we'll see you soon. So remember to go up to the website, and remember, be safe.